Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
All right, are you ready for the Word of God? Amen. Grab that little piece of paper next to you. That's your teaching outline. It's got all our scriptures and the bigger thoughts of the day for you, because the things that are said here today are only important as they amplify the Word of God. My opinion is absolutely useless. Here's what will change your life: the Bible.
Amen.
The Scripture. And when you come to Gateway day by day, you shouldn't give a rip for what my opinion is. What you should care about is what thus saith the Lord is.
Amen.
So we always like to make sure there's plenty of Scripture in our teaching. Because we're a Scripture church. We're a Bible church. The words that I speak, Jesus said, are spirit and they are life. And this is what changes a person's life. So we welcome you into the message here in the sanctuary. If you're joining us in the cafe, we are extending the worship service into the cafe now, the family lounge. If you're joining us online, delighted that you're here. And I want to read to you Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 28 through 30 from the Living Bible. It records that Israel said, "What are we getting into?" How many have ever felt that way? How many felt that way today already? You already said, "What am I getting into? What are we getting into? Our brothers who spied out the land have frightened us with their report. They say that the people of the land are tall and powerful, and the walls of their city rise high into the sky. They have even seen giants there." But Moses said, say this with me, "Don't be afraid." Keep going. "The Lord God is your leader, and he will fight for you." This is the scene of Israel finalizing their journey into the land that God had promised to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of blessing and abundance, their ultimate destination, their place in the world. And they've looked forward to this all through their journey. They've worked hard to get there. And now they realize that this beautiful land that God is giving them, where they're going to live and raise their children and build a life and find their place in the world, this land is infested with giants. And so it is going to be up to them to face those giants who are in their promised land and deal with them. And their first reaction is kind of like you and I react to big challenges sometimes in our life. "My God, what did I get myself into? Why did I marry him? Why did I sign that contract? Why did I take that loan? Lord, what did I get myself into?" And then the word of the Lord comes: "This is your place. This is your promise. This is where I'm going to bless you. And I, the Lord your God, am going to fight for you. Get rid of that fear and believe me that you can take the land that I am giving to you." And this is kind of a background for our new series. The new series that I'm starting today in our church, teaching series, is called Ugly Giants, Happy Warriors. And in this series, we're asking a couple of important questions. The first question is, what are the giants in Silicon Valley, in our land? What are we facing uniquely? I mean, not that no one else is facing it anywhere, but I mean, what does it mean to live in Silicon Valley? What is the spiritual climate like in Silicon Valley? Do we have unique giants? After all, this is the place where we are, and this is the place where God wants to bless us. So let's figure out, what are those giants? And then the second question is, how do we defeat them? How do we deal with the giants? You can move away if you want to, but I have a feeling you might meet other giants in other places, so you may as well stand where God has called you and placed you to stand. That's your best place. Where has God called you to stand? What is the land that he's given to you? Yes, it has giants, and they are ugly.
Right.
Ugly giants. But you can be a happy warrior. The happiest warrior is the warrior who just killed a giant.
Right.
And even in the battle, even in the fight, there's laughter because you don't take yourself so seriously. Oh my God, the world is coming to an end and the sky is falling and I'm ready to panic and I don't know if we're going to make it. A happy warrior says, I know that I'm going to win.
Yes.
I know that I have victory in Christ. You might feel like little David facing big Goliath, but you all know how that story came out. When God is on your side, the giants start falling. So that's what we're going to talk about. And the first giant that I want to take on in this series, and I could name 50 giants that America is facing, and I won't be able to touch on all the giants of Silicon Valley, but this one I want to make sure we talk about, the time giant.
Yes, Lord.
Because I believe time is one of the most difficult battles any of us is facing right now, and it is a very, very intense battle in Silicon Valley for natural and spiritual reasons. We're also going to look at the pressure giant. Next Sunday, I'm going to talk to you about the pressure giant and how to pound the giant of pressure and just size it down and deal with it. So we're going to go through this, talk about money and relationships and all kinds of good things, but the time giant. Let's pray, because I want us to really ask the Lord for Holy Spirit keys and revelation. I'm only going to talk about this for one Sunday, but I feel so passionately this issue of time that if God could just slip into us something real that will change our lives, I believe that it would be so important. So, Father, we just pray right now for the Holy Spirit's help, and I ask you to bless this message, Lord. I've studied, I've done what I can do, but it's totally wasted unless you speak to the people. So I'm asking, Lord, that you release a helpful, useful, encouraging word into the life of every person that is hearing my voice, Lord, and you give them victory wherever they stand, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I recently found a tongue-in-cheek modern version of Psalms 23. Is called Psalm 23 Revisited. Let me read it to you. The clock is my dictator. I shall not rest. It makes me lie down only when exhausted. It leads me into deep depression, talking about the clock. It hounds my soul. It leads me in circles of frenzy for activity's sake. Even though I run frantically from task to task, I will never get it all done, for my clock is always with me. Deadlines and my need for approval, they drive me. They anoint my head with migraines. My in-basket overflows. Surely fatigue and time pressure shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the bonds of frustration forever. That's Psalm 23 Revisited. Now, that does not apply. I rebuke that. That doesn't apply to me. But how many of you have ever felt a little taste of that in your life? Because when the clock is your shepherd, instead of the Lord being your shepherd, you are in for a world of sadness and discouragement. But when the Lord is your shepherd, he leads you by still waters. He restores your soul, and goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. I think time is one of those issues that is especially pressing in our local culture here, our part of the world called Silicon Valley. Time is just in fact, if you would say to me, Pastor David, what are some of your biggest challenges in doing the ministry that God has called you to do and being involved in that, I would say that because time affects so many people and it affects me, that time is one of the biggest giants here. Because it really doesn't matter. Think about it. It really doesn't matter how many great ideas or how many opportunities or even how much money you have or how much talent you have, which I don't have much of. I don't have to worry about that. But it doesn't matter how much you have of that. If you don't have time, If you're pressed for time and people don't have time, and if we're all sort of tied up in knots of time and constant limitation, then it really doesn't matter how much vision you have. It really doesn't matter how much talent you have. If you're time bound, you're life bound. And so that's why I say here in Silicon Valley, we need to be time ninjas, man. We need to figure out how to master time and make it work for us so that time is not our shepherd, but we are in charge of time. How many understand what I'm saying? And this is really, it's a natural issue. And I know, Pastor, I thought you were going to talk about spiritual warfare stuff. Time is a natural issue, but it is also a spiritual issue.
Yes.
And like with so many things in life, the devil takes natural issues and turns them into supernatural problems.
Yes.
So what starts with a natural thing, the enemy wants to use it to play into and start choking us and defeating us and making us fearful and subservient to things that aren't even real. They're just strongholds in our mind. And that is a spiritual problem. Time is a spiritual issue. And it's something that the enemy seeks to use against me and to use against you. Look at Daniel chapter 7. Just look quickly. It says that concerning the end times, that the enemy shall persecute the saints of the Most High. That's you and me, the church. And he shall intend, it's his effort, to change times, to affect the issue of time and law in our life. Then the saints will be given into his hand for a time, but the court shall be seated. Hallelujah. And they, the church, shall take away the enemy's dominion forever, then the kingdom and dominion, the power, the authority, shall be given into the hands of the saints of the Most High. Now, there's a lot in that verse. I want you to notice that the enemy is trying hard to affect time. He wants to use it for his purpose. But that God has ruled that his people, the church, would be victorious in the issue of time. Now, this is in your DNA because really there's a cosmic struggle. It's very simple what's happening in the earth right now. The church is at war with the gates of hell. That's pretty much what's happening in the earth. Everything else is details and all that. But here's what's really going on. The enemy is working and the church is praying and resisting. And there is a battle, and we have been promised victory, and it is in our DNA to rule and reign with Christ forever and ever and ever. That's the church. But one of the battlegrounds is interesting. This isn't a verse about sexual sin. This isn't a verse about habits or addictions. This is a verse that says, here's one of the battlegrounds. It's the people of God fighting the enemy over time issues. And I believe, whatever you know about time up to this day, that today is a day for you to learn some new things about time that will literally transform your position in the earth and give you great authority before God. Here's something to think about. The enemy seeks to control time, but God's people are destined as overcomers.
Amen.
Everybody say, I'm destined to be an overcomer. Now, you might not feel like such a great overcomer. You might feel like you're getting your lunch eaten right now. When it comes to time and money, we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about mammon this month. We're going to find out who are we going to serve, God or man. This is an issue in Silicon Valley. Believe me. And we got to get down to who is Lord of time? How does time work? And what is God's view of time? So let's start with that because I want to introduce you to some new concepts of time that you may never have heard of. Let's look at God's view of time. You may have heard the verse in 1st or 2nd Peter chapter 3 where we're encouraged not to overlook. Don't miss this one fact, the Bible says. Don't miss this, that with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. Have you heard that verse before?
Yes.
Now just stop and think. What does that actually mean? That means God's view of time is completely different than yours. To us, 1,000 days is 1,000 days, and one day is one day. But to God, it's totally different. God has a shoebox, and in that shoebox is the history of the world. He's not in that shoebox. He's looking into it. And he sees the whole thing from, but he's not subject to that box. of time and process of time. God is outside of time. So he's looking at the beginning from the end. He got the whole thing in his hands. So to him, you say, God, I have one day for you to rise up. And God said, that ain't the way I see it. And then you say to God, God, 1,000 years is so long. And God says, that ain't the way I see it. God has a different way of viewing time. Now, let's continue on with this verse, because he says, the Lord is not slow.
Amen.
Now, let me just stop right there.
Amen.
In the Greek, if you carefully dissect that phrase, this is what it means. It means the Lord is not slow. Isn't it strange how an accusation can rise up inside of us when things don't happen according to our schedule?
Wow.
And we begin to develop a stronghold attitude in our mind that God is too slow.
Wow.
Lord, something's wrong here. This is taking too long. This is a problem. And the Bible says God is not slow. Do not accuse the Lord of being slow. He actually says, in fact, he is patient, meaning he is virtuous, loving, and understanding concerning you. Now, for us to live happy lives, especially in a time cooker, pressure cooker like Silicon Valley, we have got to develop a mindset that says God is not slow.
Amen.
And that there's a different way to look at time. Because if you live thinking God is slow and you serve him and he is Lord of your life, then you are one miserable saint. But if you understand that he's got this whole thing in his hands, and there's nothing slow about God. Don't accuse him of that. He is patient and wise, and he knows exactly how things need to be done. It's a totally different view of time, and we need to learn to see things. Now, here's a story. Let's look at a story that amplifies this principle. The story is in John chapter 11. It's the story of Lazarus who got sick. Remember that story? Lazarus got sick, and his sisters loved him very much, and they called Jesus. He's the sick maker, goer, awayer, right? And they've only got so much time. And they say, hey, Jesus, you remember your pal Lazarus? We love him. You love him. You better hurry.
Come on.
Before the deadline. Because he's only got so much time. And God, don't be slow. Jesus, whatever you do, don't be slow. And the Bible does not explain why he took his time, but I kind of think I know why. He didn't come right away. And in fact, Lazarus died, didn't he?
Yes.
Isn't that what the story says? And so then when he got there, Mary and Martha had their neck moving, and they had their hands on their hip. And it's like, where have you been? We told you. You're late. And Jesus says, take me to the tomb. And they're like, what? Take me to the tomb. Open up the tomb. And this is what they said. He's getting ready to do one of his greatest miracles.
Yes.
And Martha, the sister of him who is dead, said to him, Lord, by
this time.
By this time.
Okay.
On our clock, according to our day timer, there is a stench. Lord, it's too late. He's been dead 4 days. You do not want to smell Lazarus right now. It's too late. And Jesus said to her, didn't I say to you that if you would, what?
Believe.
Circle that word. What a word. If you would stand in your promised land and believe, you will see miracles.
Yes, Lord.
You will see resurrection. He says, and he explains in the story, don't you understand that my name is resurrection? I am Mr. Resurrection. And it's never too late for me. And nothing that stinks can't be cleaned up. And nothing that is dead can't live. So matter how bad it looks or how messy it is, I am able. So here's what I want you to notice in this story. Two kinds of understanding about time. The human understanding, which is where Mary and Martha were, by this time and hurry up and make sure you get there. And that view of time, brothers and sisters, please understand this. That will lead you to sadness and defeat in your life. When you are trying to force Jesus into your schedule, you are going to be unhappy all the time. Life won't feel right. Life won't work right. You won't experience life right. You won't have joy. You won't like people. You will be frustrated with everyone and everything, including God and yourself. You will be sad if you look at things on that level. But there's another level, the level where Jesus said, didn't I tell you? Why are you slipping over into this kind of, haven't I been teaching you how to believe?
Yes.
Haven't I been lifting you out of that kind of calculation, day timer, keeper, by this time kind of thing? By this time I should have a baby. By this time I should have had a raise. By this time I should have been promoted. By this time I should have my degree. By this time I should own a house. By this time I should have my car paid off. By this time I should be well. It stinks, Lord. Everything stinks.
That's real.
Didn't I tell you? Didn't I teach you how not to live that way? Haven't I taught you how to believe me?
Yes.
Here's how you live in the promised land, by faith.
That's it.
It's never going to be handed to you on a tray. You got to stand and believe God. When the giants of time and sickness and delay and everything else are crowding on you, you've got to just stand and say, Lord, you're my shepherd. And I'm standing where you call me to stand, and one of us has to go, giant, and it ain't going to be me. Didn't I teach you how to believe me? Jesus said. Viewing time like Jesus leads to a miracle in your life. That's where the resurrection is. So it's time to switch. It's time to pull the lever and move to a different way of experiencing life in Silicon Valley. It's not, you can't do the by this time thing. You've got to say, I believe.
Amen.
I believe God, and watch what the Lord will do. Now this reflects two, and I don't want to bore you with Greek words, but this is important because I want to introduce a concept to you. The difference between chronos, which is a Greek word for time, and kairos, which is another word, Greek word for time. Chronos is just how it sounds, chronological, chronograph. It means natural human time. It's just the word time. It just means the time as we experience it, our human, natural, ordinary time. But kairos is a Bible word that really reflects a special divine kind of time, the timing of the Lord. You could call it God's time zone.
Amen.
The kind of time that God lives in. And there's something interesting about kairos time. Kairos is an overriding of natural time. Get this now. Kairos is an override through God's purpose of our natural time. So when natural time was, you know, Lazarus has only got 4 days left, and Jesus comes on the fifth day, and that's a chronos problem. But then a kairos timing comes in and overrides the natural course of events, and it's a miracle purpose of God that God has ordained, something that God has scheduled that does not fit into your daytimer. It's outside the shoebox. Do you understand what I'm saying? Kairos is everywhere except inside the shoe. But once in a while, the kairos moment of God reaches into your shoebox of time and just pushes things around. speeds things up, slows things down, rearranges things, blows your mind a little bit. And then it's like a purpose of God, so that we say, man, this is taking forever. Is the devil in charge here? No, no. Is God slow here? No, no. This is a kairos thing. God is doing something. And don't matter how long you fast or how hard you pray or how loud you decree, there's some things that just don't budge. Because it's what God is doing. It's what God is doing. It's a kairos thing. So keep this straight in your mind. Kairos is the time zone of God. Kairos says it's never too late. In a moment's time, God can catch you up and leapfrog you over everybody else if that's what he wants to do. That's why verses like Galatians 6:9 are important. Check it out. So let's not get tired of doing good. You know, you can get tired when you're doing the right things, loving your wife, paying your bills, paying your tithe, you know, doing your ministry. That can wear you out. But he says, don't get tired of that, because why? At just the right time. Do you know that that's kairos? At your kairos time, at your God-appointed time, right, you will reap a harvest of blessing if you don't give up. Now, look at the person next to you on both sides. If they're asleep, jerk them a little bit. Okay. Tell them, don't sleep right now. Spirit of slumber is trying to keep you dumb. I can only talk about this today. Next week, I'm going to talk about something else. Don't miss this. I want you to win. I want your time to be under your feet. Under the lordship of Jesus. I don't want you hurried, frustrated, stressed out, fearful. I'm getting too old. I'm getting too far into my... I'm a dinosaur. I'm this. I'm that. God's people are never dinosaurs. If you're supposed to have a baby, you're going to have a baby. If you're supposed to get married, you're going to get married. If you're supposed to own a home, you're going to get a home. Come on, somebody. But you got to get onto God's time clock, or you will be frustrated forever. I don't want you sad. I want you happy. Amen. Happy warriors. I'm fighting my battles, but I'm smiling. I actually kind of dig it. I like a good fight. It's okay. I'm not dying. I'm all right. Hallelujah. Now think of this. At just the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessing. Here's a picture. God has an appointed moment of blessing for you, a kairos time, outside of what you were thinking. Not on your schedule at all. Amen. But he's got it set. It's all entered in. It's scheduled. And here you are going along. You're weary. You're frustrated. This is taking way too long. College is just... this is nuts, man. I'll never graduate. I'm never going to get married, whatever it is. And you just get that feeling like, you know what? I quit. This stinks. I quit. This is never going to work. And so you quit, but you were 2 days away from your kairos time. The Lord says, don't do that. Let me tell you how to survive in Silicon Valley. Just keep standing. Keep believing. Just show up. You don't have to be brilliant. You don't have to be amazing. But you got to be there when God says, now is the day. You got to be at the table if you want to eat. So just stay at the table. And when the Lord brings it to you, you're going to love it, right? Are you getting anything out of this? All right, so let's talk for a few minutes. And then we're going to pray and have some singing and Holy Spirit. I just really want this to soak into your life. But let me give you three things that will help you tackle the time giant, okay? Let's tackle the time giant. Number one, surrender your life to Christ. You've got to surrender your life and your time to Jesus. Now, it's always funny. I say it too, and I don't mean to say it. I say my time. My time. I need my time. I need some me time. But here's the truth about what it means to serve the Lord. Nothing is mine. Does that hurt you? Nothing is yours or mine. If you have surrendered it to Christ, it belongs to him. So an interruption is something different for a believer. Maybe God had something scheduled for your day. You didn't know about it, and you had your plan, and you had all this, and you said, this is my day. And Jesus says, really? Check this out.
Okay.
You know. And he just, like, you know, he takes up the whip to your temple. And he starts flipping tables. And saying, no, it ain't your time. This is my house. This is my body. This is my church. This is my place. And I'll flip a table if I want to flip a table. Flip and flip. I will flip whatever I want to flip when I want to flip it. It's my house. How many have ever been flipped? Then you think, devil, I rebuke you. And you didn't know that it wasn't the devil. Are you saved? How many are saved? For by grace you have been saved. Praise the Lord. Through faith, not of works. Then it goes on to say, for we are his workmanship. He built us. He created us. He gave us whatever we have. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Watch this. Which God scheduled.
All right.
Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let me ask you, I wonder what God has scheduled for you a week from Tuesday. You might not know, but he does.
Yes.
And if your life is his, you're going to be just fine.
All right. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
If you hold on to your life, what did Jesus say will happen? You will lose it. But if you release your life, if you give your life to him, you will keep everything. The devil will have no way to get you. Because the devil can steal from you, but he cannot steal from God. So if you give it to God, you give your day to God, no way the devil, he could wrestle it from you, but he is not getting it from God, not even close. So we say, Lord, I give you this day. I give you every minute of this day. I give you this week. I give you my time. It's all belongs to you. I'm not pressed. I'm not stressed. And I cannot be robbed.
Yes. Wow.
Learn the secret of a surrendered schedule and a surrendered life, right? So, if you're saved, you belong to him. Number two, develop a wise time plan for your life. I'm talking about a spirit-led, prophetic, Holy Spirit time plan. Let God give you wisdom for how to handle time. Think about your time. Put more thought into your time than you do into your vacation or into your sports. What's that online stupid game people play in football games? Fantasy football. Just think, I'm sorry, don't get mad at me. But some of you are thinking more about fantasy football than you're thinking about how your life is going to go. And if you'll spend time thinking and planning, now listen, plan, take it from me. If you get a plan, make sure it's in pencil.
All right. All right. Got that.
Don't get married to your plan. Make a plan and let God amend it and change it where it did, because you're not going to get it right. You ain't Moses.
Okay.
You're not going to get a pattern right the first time. Stop believing that you're Moses and every day God tells you everything about, you know, everything, this kind of toothpaste and how to, all that. You're not Moses. God speaks, but you don't get it right every time.
Right.
Okay, sometimes you'll get the general idea, but you'll get fuzzy on a couple of details and you'll mess up. It's a good thing I'm running out of time because I'm getting way in the weeds here. You guys are getting mad at me. I just get back from vacation. I'm in a happy mood. I should really stop talking. Get a plan. Be careful how you live, the Bible says. Don't live like a fool. Be wise. Be careful. Think about it. Well, I just trust God. I'm just going to wing it. Well, that's just the dumbest thing you've ever said. That's not faith. That's just dumb.
Okay.
God gave you a brain. Think about it.
Yes.
Get your head together. Get a plan. And then submit it to God and let him erase and redraw. All right. Because here's what's true. If we don't manage our time, somebody will do it for us.
Okay.
So the question is, yeah, and all the parents and married people and employees, listen, can I tell you something about, you want to live the dream, you want to live the dream, I want to work at Google, I want to work at LinkedIn, I want to work for, they are going to take your time and control every minute of your day. You better figure out what the Lord's plan for your life is. Because you don't need an IPO's plan for your life. You need the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to plan out your future. Don't you surrender your time and your life to some CEO that doesn't even know Christ. You were created for a life. A supernatural life. And working is a part of it, no problem. But let's never be confused about who's in charge and who's the Lord of your life. And how many hours you're going to be working. You need to get that from God. And not just flow with Silicon Valley and whatever. Well, if they tell me to work 80 hours, I guess I got to work 80 hours.
Amen.
You're being dominated by a time giant. You're being whipped.
Yes, that's true.
And you got to get that thing underneath your feet. Amen. And get to a life where Jesus is in charge, not the clock.
Amen.
Okay, I'm out of time. Here's the last piece.
Keep going, Pastor. Come on.
It's sad when they start playing the music and you know you got to stop. I'm the boss. And no, I told them to. I said, no matter how excited I am at 20 after, start playing, because. Keep going. Not that song, a different one. No. Here's the third one. Rise up and be a time warrior. In fact, let's do it right now. Rise up, stand up, and say, I'm a time ninja. Say this, with God's help, I got this. Say one thing. Say this. God controls my future. Say that. So the Bible says, my times are in your hands. And say this. In Christ, I have the victory. I am victorious. I was born to win. Whatever is born of God conquers the world. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't be dominated by an ugly giant called time. Stand up and say, God is in control, and I'm in charge. You don't think that's even true, do you? God is in control, and I'm in charge. Because God gives you the authority. He's the controller, but he gives you the stewardship, the management, right? You can't control everything. God's in control. But you can take your place, pick up your rock, and throw it at the giant. Say, this is, God is in control of this land, and I'm in charge. You're in my backyard, Jack. I'm not in your backyard. Silicon Valley belongs to me. The wealth belongs to me. The time belongs to me. It's all mine through Christ. Do you believe this? Father, I pray for your people right now. And I pray, Lord, as we just begin to worship you and sing, that you would just refresh us. Now, come on, let's begin to sing about the victory of Christ. And let's get refilled with faith for our week. We're going to have a great week. Let's sing for a few minutes together. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you for a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit, Lord, for a fresh authority, Lord, over the time challenges of our life, Lord. Lord, help us to see our lives with the wisdom and recognizing the natural, but not being limited to the natural, Lord. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are in Silicon Valley, but this valley is not our culture. Heaven is our culture. This valley These corporations, these schools, these traffic jams, they are not in charge. We are in charge and you are in control. Father, I pray that you would empower us, Lord, to live lives of faith in the face of delays and where things are starting to stink. Help us to stand and believe, Lord. Help us to know that you are in control. Oh, thank you, Father. I pray for discouraged people. I pray for people that feel like they may just want to quit. I pray for people that feel like they have nothing and they've lost everything. And for those that feel like it's too late, I speak resurrection miracles, Lord. I speak faith and belief, Lord. Resurrect hope, resurrect dreams, resurrect our hearts, Lord, and teach us to stand in this land of milk and honey and defeat every giant. I praise you for this in Christ's name. Prayer teams are going to come. I want you to say this prayer with me this morning. Let's all pray out loud. Father God, thank you for the victory that comes in Christ. Lately, I felt so sad and defeated in life. Forgive me for doubting you. Teach me to live on your schedule, not my own. Today, I rise up and declare that I am an overcoming, happy warrior through Christ in his name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. I think it's so great that we could be together today. This has been so fun for me, and I hope that you've been blessed. Take a minute and get to know somebody that you don't know. If you need prayer, come down here and get to know one of our prayer teams. And if I haven't met you, I'd love to shake your hand. God bless you, everybody. You're dismissed.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.